Welcome to the 143rd edition of Make Pro Wrestling Majestic Again. I am Tiger Hay.
And I'm Peter Gallery.
So, we're going to get right into the drama, and a lot of it is AEW. I don't know why, but this week just sort of turned the dial with the drama within AEW to the nth degree. I'm assuming we're waiting until next week for all the drama for WrestleMania season.
Yes.
So, AEW. This new COO is essentially taking on 20 million responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired this person. They are responsible for the oversight of all strategic planning and execution of live events, marketing, finance, human resources, licensing, consumer products, and all major lines of business for the company.
Hmm.
This is one position. This is the chief operating officer of AEW that they hired, I think, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of company has one person of this size and of the budget that they have
right.
do all of this?
Right. I mean, that would make sense if they were a small business, but they clearly are not.
Right. Then they have the funding to hire multiple people
right.
for these. There's a reason why there is a chief marketing officer, a chief financial officer. There's a person specifically
right.
for human resources. This person is taking on, at the very least, five jobs,
yep.
including chief operating officer.
Right.
That's not good. If
right.
one person has to have all of those responsibilities.
Well, it doesn't necessarily say that they are responsible for those, but it says it's all strategic planning
and execution. They're directly responsible
but
for
it's the oversight of it. So there probably are teams underneath them, but yeah, this seems like a lot of hands for one person to take on.
The chief operating officer of anything is not planning and executing all of this. Now, they might have a hand on the planning part and mm-hmm. overseeing the performance of these resources, but they are not the person directly responsible for every nitpicky thing.
Right.
That's not good. So I wanted to bitch and moan about that because that is not good. Another thing of AEW, which I think all of the cult should be fucking worrying about, and they're not, is that moving forward, AEW pay-per-views are not going to be on BR Live anymore.
Okay.
They are going to go to Triller, which was known as Fight.
Oh, okay.
Here is the problem with that. And I think this should be an indicator of the state of the relationship between these two companies.
Yeah.
Guess who is the owner and operator of BR Live?
Isn't that Endeavor?
No, it's Warner Brothers Discovery.
Huh.
So, what does that say? Now, that could mean nothing.
Right.
But that also could mean anything.
Right.
Or everything.
Right.
Of the relationship between Warner Brothers Discovery and AEW.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that obviously has to be some part of the deal.
Right.
But now, since they're moving those out, what is that saying?
Right.
It's ridiculous. The ratings from Dynamite just continue to plummet in a way that I think most people should be worried. I think it was a 747
mm-hmm.
and a 0.27 demo.
Okay.
Last week, they were barely holding on to 800 and people just dropped off. And you can say MLB.
Or yeah, MLB was opening day.
I think NCAA
yep.
with March Madness. I'm not sure if there were games on Wednesday, but to what I heard, that there was nothing that was contested against AEW that night. I could be wrong, but that's what I saw.
Right.
But now, if March Madness is there, okay, I can give them
right,
that credit.
But March Madness is pretty much over after today, so
right.
they don't have any excuses.
So we'll see what happens with next week's Dynamite.
Right.
I watched Dynamite. I watched the entire thing. It was not good in any capacity. Mercedes sucks on commentary. The main event was lackluster because Swerve Strickland should have been the number one contender in the fucking first place against going against Kinosuke Takeshita, who did absolutely nothing to get to that spot. Zero. Right. Bumpkiss. So them doing that is ridiculous.
Right.
And finally, Eric Bischoff has been an absolute monster as it relates to Tony Khan.
Yeah, there's been this budding feud between these two.
Yep. So Eric Bischoff, he had a podcast with Joe Alba, which I do not like because he blocked me, where it was called Strictly Business.
Yeah.
And Strictly Business is not going to be going on.
Right.
Tony Khan responded to that saying, oh my God, he's going away. Do you not realize that 83 weeks still exists?
Right.
And the fact that Eric Bischoff is going to be doing a live YouTube show now.
Right.
Is that his priorities are changing.
Right.
And he slapped back Tony Khan over the head in the entire cult. Excuses and meltdowns and all of this. And I mean, I've been preaching it for months now.
Yeah.
That the biggest enemy of AEW is the AEW fans and Tony Khan, and this was a perfect example of it.
Yep.
What a horrendous way on responding to somebody who disagrees with you.
Right.
It was, think of Triple H doing that.
Right.
Just getting on Twitter and having a moan or praising, oh, a big detractor is no longer going to be doing a thing. Do you really think that's what an actual professional does?
No.
No. Right. Zero.
Man-child with daddy's money.
It's absolutely insane. This drama, I know. I hark on AEW a lot. I don't want to. I want AEW to go back to when it felt different.
Right.
I mean, Joey Janela, Private Party, Frankie Kazarian, I'm trying to think of other people who were somewhat in the main event scene at this time. They were outdrawing Adam Copeland, Mercedes Moné,
yep,
Christian Cage, Swerve Strickland.
Right.
You know why? Because AEW felt different.
Right. It wasn't a WWE light.
This is
all the stars or ex-WWE stars
are just going there. Now, okay, they have a place to work, and I don't necessarily see anything wrong with having former WWE guys
but
on
they,
your
they
roster.
Should not, you should not rely on them. Your bread and butter should be homegrown stars.
Exactly.
And they lost that with MJF. I don't know if he's left or not, but
it looks like it.
Yeah.
It's looking like it more and more. The fact that people are continuously making these excuses, and it's like, the AEW fan base at that time were not the toxic little sons of bitches that they are now.
Right.
They just weren't.
Right.
And it's just all online shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you say, oh, it's only this microcosm of the cult. It's like, no, everybody looks at that and says, I don't want to be involved with a fan base that does this.
Right.
I don't want to be involved in that.
Right.
So, yeah, that, I mean, that's just kind of my spiel with AEW. It's sad. It's just a sad state of affairs. Hopefully they can get back on the ball here after WrestleMania. Generally, a lot of companies hit that big, nice, fresh restart around that time anyway. So maybe they'll do an okay build for Double or Nothing. I'm hoping and praying. I want the card to be good enough that I have an excuse to go.
The card just doesn't feel good enough.
Well, we don't know any matches yet.
No, I mean for Dynasty.
Yeah.
The card just looks complete ass.
Yeah, it does. So hopefully they'll do better with Double or Nothing.
Yep.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'm hoping they do a little bit better. That is my drama for this week. Let me know what you think. Let me know if I missed anything. Sometimes
right.
I miss shit. So, Peanut Gallery, there is a lot of news.
There is. A lot of big interviews, of course. Right before WrestleMania season, I'm sure next week would be a lot if we were doing the news, but hey, let's focus on some news.
Perfect. We are back. Peanut Gallery, you're talking about news. Let's get into it.
Yep, Sabu is going to the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame, and Steve Corino is going to
the Indie Wrestling
Hall of Fame this week, so that's exciting.
There have been quite a few decent hitters for Hall of Fame, a lot of them ECW-based.
Well, yeah, of course, because they're in Philadelphia for the actual
ceremony.
Yeah,
right.
For the ceremony, and they're running four shows that week, and we'll talk about that when we get there.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely will.
Ace Austin re-signed with Impact Wrestling.
Do you know the extent of the contract, like how long it
is? No, but he did say a lot of interesting things about his future with Impact or with TNA. He does want to go after the world champion, so he probably has somewhere in his contract where he is stipulated to have those kinds of reigns. But I guess we'll just see what happens. But
I mean, it's not like the first time that he went for the world champion. He did that before.
No, but he actually wants to have a world title reign. I wonder if something like that is included in his contract.
Maybe. We'll see.
NXT Battleground moved date and location.
This is weird. Yeah. So they are moving to the, what is it called?
It's called the Apex, and that is a that's the UFC venue that they have in Las Vegas, right across the street from their headquarters. The seating capacity is about 1,000 people, so it's interesting to wonder why they moved it there and why they're doing it in such an environment.
Given that it is Battleground, I wonder if they're doing that for a gimmicked pay-per-view.
I wonder what sorts of ideas they have. It sounds to me like they're almost testing something out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all the information we have for now. Normally, Battleground was going to run up against All In.
Maybe that's why.
Not All In. Double or Nothing, and it was originally going to be in Savannah, Georgia. So
that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So Matt Hardy, of course, he's making a lot of news recently because of his contract talks and with his appearance on WWE Raw a couple weeks ago. As of right now, he said that he did receive a contract.
I don't know if he's going to re-sign.
Right.
He might do like a year-to-year because he probably wants to stay with Jeff.
Yep.
But Jeff has 2 years after, because remember, Matt Hardy signed in 2020,
yep.
And Jeff Hardy signed in 2022.
Right, and it seems like at this stage in their career, no matter what's going on, I think Matt wants to stay with Jeff as much as possible. So obviously, when they're not together, there continues to be issues.
I mean,
there are issues when they were together too, but it just seems like it's way more exacerbated when the brother isn't there.
Right. You know, I could see that, but at the same time, Jeff had that big arrest.
Yeah.
His last big arrest with AEW.
Yep, he did.
So it really just depends. As it relates to, I mean, Matt Hardy has really brought up a lot of grievances that he had with AEW.
Yep.
And Matt Hardy can be a valuable asset, but the problem is he wants to wrestle.
Right.
But he does not have the physical capabilities at this point in his career to do so.
Right.
Now, could he be a good manager? Hardy's a good talker. Yeah. I think he could do something really cool with that.
Right. Even backstage stuff, and we've talked about this ad nauseum with AEW.
He has like, good, great creativity.
You have a lot of great assets at your disposal.
But the problem is that the inmates run the asylum.
Yep.
And yes, Sasha Banks is an asshole. You know you are, Mercedes. Don't bother denying it. We see the videos. We know how you think you are. You are not that special. In fact, you're a bitch. So
anyways,
the problem is that all of the young people there, they feel like that their shit doesn't stink, and right. They have a problem. William Regal's brought that up. Frankie Kazarian's brought that up.
Yep.
They've all brought that up.
And they're all experienced in the industry. So it's like, okay, well.
It's like if I had William Regal, CM Punk, Matt Hardy, you know who I would be talking to every effing day about my character work, my in-ring performance.
Those people that have the experience.
Decades of experience.
Right.
It's a wealth. It's invaluable.
Right.
Kenny Omega.
Yeah, so Kenny Omega's news. He might have to go in for surgery.
Did you hear about that? Yeah, intestines. Like,
yeah.
How hurt was this guy?
I don't know. Feels like there might have been some sort of unknown or unforeseen condition that he had. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, but, my God.
Yeah, he might be out for a little while longer.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's out indefinitely. Like,
right.
We don't even know if he's going to be returning to the ring anytime soon.
Right. That's unfortunate. Jack Perry, he recently did say that he requested his release. And
it was rejected.
It was rejected for whatever reason. And again, we've talked about this too. And it's like, come on, buddy. I don't know what's going on with Jack Perry, but he seems to be doing okay in New Japan.
Tony Khan is obviously pissed at Perry because he essentially lost CM Punk because of Perry.
Yeah.
But yet when Jack Perry requested his release, he didn't get his release.
Right. That this doesn't make any sense to me.
Nothing about that makes sense. No. Nothing about that makes sense.
No. And he also disputed apologizing for the CM Punk fight as well. So apparently Tony said that he was sorry about it, but he did not. Apparently he's disputing that.
So yeah.
Who knows who's right in that situation?
AEW in general.
We talked about the COO. This is why I put that on there.
Oh, okay.
And we talked about the hiring and the description of the COO. We don't have to go over it a lot, but apparently there was a lot of that. The Rock's getting a lot of backlash for his language, I guess, or the freedom to utilize certain language that other wrestlers are not allowed to use.
Now, I'm assuming it's because I'm assuming the wrestlers are the ones who are having the grievance.
Yes.
Here is my theory regarding that, because I think they're really going to start trying to test the waters as it relates to becoming more edgy.
Because
and the thing is, The Rock has the ability to not only execute it well, but he can take the heat.
Yes.
I don't think other wrestlers will have the pull that The Rock does.
And obviously The Rock is one of the chair people on the board for TKO. So yes, of course he has that freedom.
But it's also The Rock.
Yes.
And that's the other thing that I think, I mean, I'm not sure who's complaining about it.
I'm not sure either.
But I mean, there are competitors who are getting a little more edgy, a little more personal as it relates to it. So maybe with The Rock, they're like, let's lean more into it with Rock because we know we're going to get the ratings and see what happens.
Right. And the other theory too is that WWE is probably going to drop their PG rating when they move over to Netflix and become TV-14 again.
Well, yeah, because they're going to have more freedom on Netflix because it's not a traditional streaming platform.
I wonder if they're rolling with that theory as well, where they're like, okay, well, let's see how edgy we can get before people start complaining.
But now what I'm worried about is Raw going to be the edgy one where SmackDown is not, because SmackDown has a lockdown on USA for right now.
Right. I don't know the answer to that question. WWE did announce a lot of shows for A&E.
There was the Bray Wyatt documentary.
There is. Gabriel Iglesias is going to be hosting, I think, Rivals.
Okay. That's very random, but sure.
I think that's what it was. Most Wanted Treasures is coming back.
It's a cool show. I recommend that, by the way.
Gabriel Iglesias is replacing Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was doing a show with WWE?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, on A&E, at Rose Rivals. It's going to be interesting.
Freddie Prinze Jr. also played Fred in the live-action Scooby-Doo movies.
Biography WWE Legends is also going to return.
I like that stuff too.
So a lot of not this month, in May. So a lot of things going on with A&E.
Sweet.
WWE Speed, we have more information on it. It's going to be on X, formerly Twitter.
I'm assuming they're doing the debut strategically right there because the 4th through the 7th is going to be a little busy with wrestling.
Yes, especially WrestleMania weekend. So you're going to have a little bit of stuff on X. There is a championship. I don't know the repercussions for that. I don't know what that entails.
So Speed is – in case you don't know, Speed is essentially going to be a mini series on X – mm-hmm. where the matches are 3 minutes.
Yep, or less.
That is the extent of it. So it's going to be a very fast-paced sort of content.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's going to work. I feel like that might get a little dangerous, but it is WWE, so I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing.
Yep. So Thunderbolt Patterson is going to the Hall of Fame.
We talked about this already.
We did?
Yeah, we talked about Thunderbolt Patterson going into the Hall of Fame. This happened a while ago.
Oh. Okay.
they announced Thunderbolt Patterson like 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't made aware of that until like I read the story.
We literally talked about it.
Oh, okay. Well, we can skip it. All right, so CM Punk is going to be the...
commentator.
The special guest commentator for both nights of WrestleMania.
So I thought he was only going to be the special guest commentator for the Seth Rollins McIntyre match.
I don't think that's the case. I think he's going to be there for the entire show.
Okay.
I don't know for a fact, but my implication was that he's going to be there for the whole show.
Well, maybe if you had notes.
Yeah.
Even though you have an iPad sitting in front of you.
Yeah, I know. The John Cena is producing Next Gen.
This is cool.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on what Next Gen is going to be?
So from my understanding, it's going to be similar to the Ultimate Fighter. That's kind of my impression. Is that
so? Like a Tough Enough almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hmm.
But maybe a little bit edgier because it is, you know, TKO. And I'm sure that they want to do something like this. And it seems like it might be a little less scripted as well. It's obviously going to be on Roku. So who knows exactly what.
Man, WWE is really putting a lot of flags in with these originals.
They're
on A&E, they're on X, they're on Roku, on Peacock. I mean,
they're pretty much everywhere that you can imagine. I think they want to increase their reach as much as possible.
Yeah, they're going to be on Netflix. They're going to be on traditional television. It's like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
They're going to be on CW.
Yeah. It's
good Lord. Like, these are like competing places.
Yeah.
And WWE is in all of them. It's like, open the floodgates. There are no exclusives anymore.
Right. So Becky Lynch had a pretty extensive conversation over these past couple of weeks. I think it was on MMA Live or something.
It was with Ariel Helwani.
Yeah, it was. She talked a lot about a lot of different
things. So she has a new book.
Yeah.
I heard it was pretty good.
Yep. We talked about the book already, but
she said she had 2 months left on her contract with the E. She ain't going fucking anywhere.
Nope. She said that Seth Rollins also has 2 months left in his contract.
And he is not going fucking anywhere.
She talked a lot about Ronda Rousey, because that was...
Now, that one I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Because she said that WWE misused Ronda.
Yeah.
Now, in her first run, I'm going to disagree. But the second run, 100%.
Yeah. She was mishandled, according to her, which I can agree with, especially with that second one. She talked about Mercedes Moné's contract. She said,
I don't know what she said about Mercedes. I only saw snippets of the Becky Lynch interview.
Yeah.
Cause it was a long interview.
Right. She said that it's good that she's, you know, equal work, equal pay sort of thing, all that bullshit, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Very corporate.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. And then finally, we got to talk about Vinnie Mac selling more of his TKO shares.
He sold like $100 million of his TKO shares.
I think $106 million, if you want to be specific. But
I'm going to assume this is for the court stuff.
Yes. I'm thinking that he is being, not coerced, but he is being highly encouraged to divest himself of as much TKO stock as possible.
Well, especially right now, because it's an all-time high, and he clearly has other priorities.
Yeah, and he's not going. He's not coming back.
No, but I mean he's in his 80s,
right?
And you know,
and of course, if all this comes through, and he has to go through the court system,
he is going through the court system. He's being investigated. They filed the stuff for
that, but they haven't. But he hasn't. Like shown up for trial yet?
Well, no, there hasn't been a trial set because they're in the investigative process.
They're in the discovery phase,
right?
So that's all I have as far as news goes for this week. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we do have a website, and I have been publishing articles.
Link is in the description if you want to check it out. It's literally the first link in the description.
Cool.
So when we come back, it's going to be a very interesting topic that Peanut Gallery has no idea what we're doing.
Yay!
So we are back, and Peanut Gallery was kind of confused on what we were going to do for the topic because he didn't have an idea because this week went really quickly. So with WrestleMania coming up, I kind of wanted to look at everything that's going to be happening between the 4th of April and the 7th. Because the shows start on the 4th.
Which is a Thursday.
That is a Thursday, yes.
So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So let's go through all the shows.
Over across all of that, to my knowledge, according to Wikipedia, 2024 professional wrestling, there are 14 events.
Jeez.
But that is including WrestleMania and...
Right.
That's including both nights of WrestleMania, and that is including San
and Deliver. And I presume that most of these are taking place in the Philadelphia area as well.
Yes. Well, actually, the majority of them are taking on around Philadelphia. There are some that are not, but most of them are. Six of these events, six of them, are under the GCW banner.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds like a lot, but they've really done well about sectioning because it is Josh Barnett's blood sport, which they bring in other people.
Yeah.
They have Joey Janela's Spring Break. There are two of them.
Yeah.
There is, we'll go through all of them, but then there's like a GCW versus TJPW, Effie's Big Gay Brunch. So it's mm-hmm. various times and various things. And I'm not sure about all of the matches, by the way. So, right. But let's get into the ones that are happening. One of them that I thought was interesting is that Stardom is yep. actually doing a show in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The card is sort of ass. I mean, there was only five matches announced.
And it's taking place at the 2300 Arena, right?
Yes, it is.
Where the original ECW brand was based.
So there's probably maybe only going to be a couple of hundred people, yep. but it is a Stardom. I do not know the start time of this show, but it is on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's main evented by Miyaka versus Megan Bain for the World of Stardom champion. There is a three-way match for the high-speed champion, and then essentially a bunch of tag matches, and Willow Nightingale is making a appearance, along with Stephanie Vogier. I believe I butchered her name, but she is the current CMLL Women's Champion.
Cool. No one cares about CMLL, but let's move on.
Well, except for people within AEW, because they like to jerk them off. So one of the more important ones, because of the implication of Shayna Baszler,
yep.
is Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
Right.
And so this is the 10th Bloodsport.
Okay.
I'm not sure where it's going to be taking place exactly, right. but the matches on here sort of range. So Josh Barnett is taking on Johnny Bloodsport, which is Johnny Mundo, right. by the way. Nick Nimmith versus Mike Bailey, Shayna yep. Baszler and Masha Slamovich, Axel Trischer versus Timothy Thatcher, and a lot, and all of these.
Nora Suzuki versus Royce Isaacs.
Yep. A lot of these are singles matches.
Yeah.
So there are eight matches on this show.
But you said that this is the one where they bring in people from outside, so that makes
yes.
sense.
Yes. I mean, Masha Slamovich, Nick Nimmith, Mike Bailey, Timothy
but
Thatcher.
But I think the big one is Shayna Baszler because the E normally does not
do this. With Josh Barnett's pre-existing relationship with Shayna Baszler because he trained her
right.
when she originally made the transition between between MMA and pro wrestling.
Right.
So there was
and
that.
And also Pop H.
Yes. Next one.
This takes place on the same night, I believe, right?
Yes. This is the first Joey Janela's one, which is Spring Break 8.
Okay.
And then the next one is Clusterfuck, but Clusterfuck doesn't happen until, I believe, the 6th.
Right.
So this is still... Actually, no, this is the 5th.
Yes.
So this is the 5th. And then there is another show for the culture, but that's that is the 4th. And actually, no, that's the 5th, too. So
right.
GCW has two shows on the 5th. I'm assuming for
right.
the...
So Bloodsport is on the 4th. And then For the Culture and Joey Janela's Spring Break is on the 5th.
So the Spring Break 8 is main evented by Blake Christensen and Joey Janela for the GCW World Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Cardona is obviously taking on the Blue Pain, formerly known as Blue Kane,
mm-hmm.
which I absolutely adore. The card itself within this is not the worst I've ever seen
right.
As it relates to it, but it is Joey Janela's.
Another appearance by Minoru Suzuki.
Yep. I mean, there's Effie's wrestling again. Mm-hmm. We already have Effie's Big Gay Brunch, so that's going to happen. And I'm assuming Janela's going to be wrestling.
Right.
And then,
of course, we got the Joey Janela Spring Break Clusterfuck Forever on the
6th
following night.
Oh, on the 5th. Yeah, the 6th.
And that one, I think, only has one match confirmed.
The Pajami Prison match for the GCW World Tag Team Champions with Violence is Forever, Jacob Fatu and Zilla Fatu, Los Mazokots, I butchered that immensely, and then the Bollywood Boys.
Nice.
And that is in a Pujami Prison match.
Nice.
Whatever.
Super Card of Honor is also taking place on Friday.
Yes, Super Card of Honor is taking... Super Card of Honor is on the 5th.
Yeah, that's Friday.
Yes, you said the 6th.
No, I said Friday.
Did you say Friday?
I did.
Anyway.
The 5th.
Eddie Kingston singing on Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Champion. Afina singing on Hikaru Shida for the Women's Champion. I believe this will be the main event. Billy Starks and Queen Amidala or Amanada. Say aluminum five times fast. And that is for the inaugural Ring of Honor Women's World Television Champion.
And then there's a six-person Stardom Showcase Women's Tag Team.
And then Kyle Fletcher and Lee Johnson for the Ring of Honor World Television Champion. Nothing there is special and or important.
Right.
I guess they're trying to harken back with Mark Briscoe because I guess Jay won this Ring of Honor World Champion 11 years ago or something like
that. Yeah, they'll probably bring him up at least 10 times.
God. So sick of it.
Right.
It's just like, I almost don't want to watch it, but we have to.
And then weirdly, Sakura Genesis is happening as
so,
well.
So Sakura Genesis is happening in Tokyo, though.
Right. But it's not always on the 6th, is it?
No.
Okay. So this one is not taking place. Well, this one, it's not like a January 4th show where you pretty much know every single time, which is weird that they're doing the show then. During this weekend, because there's so much going on already.
Right, and this is going to be an early morning show. So actually, it does sort of happen around this time.
So April 8th
was last year, yes. So this card is actually kind of stacked. Mm-hmm. There is a good chance we will most likely be covering this along with Supercard of Honor.
Yep.
But we also have Stand and Deliver, too.
I know, we have a lot. We're going to have a lot of shows.
But this one is hard to miss, because we obviously have Tetsuya Naito and Yota Tsuji for the world champion. We have Sho versus Yo for the junior heavyweight champion. Mm-hmm. We have Bullet Club, War Dogs, and the Intergalactic Treadsetters and Catch 2-2 for the junior heavyweight tag team champions. We have Jon Moxley and Shota Umino taking on Ren Narita and Jack Perry of House of Torture, Evil and Shingo Takagi for the Never Openweight champion. There's a lot of title matches.
Right.
It's stacked. So it's like, okay.
We got to figure out. There might be a week where we just do three shows and that's it.
Yeah, there is a good chance. So that's happening on the 6th.
Yeah.
And that's going to be in the morning, so you can watch that at your leisure. If you want to stay up at fucking God knows how early that is, I'm not doing that, so right. Whatever. But this is in Tokyo.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about this.
We already talked about Clusterfuck.
Yep. Stand and Deliver, of course.
So Stand and Deliver on the 6th. It's happening like at noon.
Yes, it's happening in the morning. And it's like, I think they're doing it right across the street from where WrestleMania is.
Yes. So Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes are going to be main eventing that show. Where you have Obafemi, Dijak, and Josh Briggs for the North American title. We have Ilya Dragunov and Tony D'Angelo for the NXT champion. Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker taking on the winner of this tournament that's happening in NXT for those. For the tag champions, mm-hmm. We have Lyra Valkyria and Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Champion. Oop, I forgot to put up the graphic because I am an idiot.
There. Yay.
That's Clusterfuck and then NXT. So a pretty damn good card
yep.
overall. I'm excited. I look forward to it. Any show with Obafemi, I am all for because that guy has star written fucking all over him. I love him to death. And then that Carmelo Hayes and Trick William match is going to be just... the bee's knees.
Right. And then, of course, you know, the reason that everyone is going to be there is...
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This is going
to
be a...
Do we need to go over the card? I mean, I think that you pretty much know at this point
There is only one match announced for night one and two for night two. Obviously, pretty much, I would say, feels like the biggest tag team match in wrestling history.
Yeah.
Legitimately, they have built it to feel like the biggest tag team match in wrestling history. We have Io Sky Bailey. We have Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. We have Sami Zayn, Gunther. The big clusterfuck undisputed WWE tag team champion match, which I hope they split the titles.
Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yep, and then finally, obviously, we have the big one with Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, too, for the world champion, for the Undisputed Universal Champion, excuse me, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, and then other matches are Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. I said that right, yes.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus the... other members of Damage Control, all of them. We have LWO, Rey Mysterio, and Dragon Lee taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio for God fucking knows what reason.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's God knows fucking what reason.
I don't understand why they did this. So Carlito had all the backing with him,
mm-hmm.
but yet they brought out Dragon Lee. There's nothing wrong with Dragon Lee, but Carlito is the guy who should have been in the match.
But we digress. It's going to be a busy weekend if you're a wrestling fan.
It's going to be a busy weekend. As of right now, we're only covering both nights of WrestleMania that weekend.
Yep. And then the following weekend, we'll probably cover Sakura Genesis, Supercard of Honor, and NXT.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what the plan is for right now. But yes, we are actually going to be doing shows again.
Yes. We've been a little bit of a dry spell, but this is why. They're blowing their big load next weekend.
Right.
So for our show, we will have it. It will be late.
On Sunday.
But it's too important to not have it.
Right.
And I'll put it up when I can. We're only going to be covering that. So no match, no news, no drama, unless something like catastrophic happens.
Yes.
That's the only time. It's like big breaking news. Like, that's the only time when I think we're going to do that.
All right. So anyways, when we come back, we actually have a match.
Yes, we do. So we have a match.
It's a WWE match.
It is. It's a tag team match.
Okay.
So we're watching this not because the match itself is bad, it's because Candice LeRae is very underrated at being kind of a chicken shit heel. And I actually kind of like the, I kind of like how they're doing it with these two, with Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. You'll notice. I'm going to assume that you saw the Candice LeRae bashing Maxine Dupri.
Yep.
And bringing up the dead brother. This was the week after.
Okay. So this was the most previous, this was the previous Raw.
Yes.
Okay.
No, this was the Raw before. So okay. not last week's Raw,
but the week before. Okay, perfect.
I can't, but she's out here smiling. I don't like it. I hate it. Despicably rude, disgusting. Candace's point is she...
Oh, I'm just making sure that I can pause. Okay, good.
So obviously it's Caden Carter and Katana Chance facing Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae.
Yep. It's just a match for reasons.
Yeah.
Sorry if it's kind of hopping around on you guys. It's doing it for us, too. This was the best stream that I could find.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know why.
Right. Also, Katana Chance is... Katana Chance is very short.
She is really short. But Indy Hartwell is also really tall.
That's true.
These hits don't feel like they're actually hurting her, like, at all.
No. This looks like a bathroom break match.
It really does. Candace, don't do that ever again. That look, you look like you slipped on a banana.
She probably did. Serial hot tag.
Already, we're not even, like... We're like barely a minute into the match. That was
timing was off for that one.
Slightly. There we go. Decent drop kick. Will she kick her?
Right. I mean, at least she's more believable than Riho.
That's true. Well, because she was Katana Chance. So the slip. So you saw the slip,
yeah.
Right? That is important. On what's about to happen.
Okay.
And at the very least, Katana Chance was a, she was on American Top Warrior or whatever.
Ninja Warrior.
Ninja Warrior, thank you. So the knee is the important part here. That's the thing, Indy. Perfectly executed.
Katana, incredibly athletic, tried to reverse it. I mean, the crowd is dead. That's always fun.
Well, because the action had to stop.
Right.
Eddie Arango is one of the greatest officials on earth in any sport.
I don't know why it's freaking out. It's freaking out on us more than it is for you guys.
Oh yeah, I guess it is.
So look at the face of Indy Hartwell. She's like, what the fuck was that? Did you see how brutal that Boston Crab was?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, follow up with more of that.
Right.
Berating dead brother. Taking advantage of an obvious injury.
Right.
I like the contrast.
Right.
It's awesome. So, that was the match. Really short and sweet. When we, for next week,
WrestleMania.
Remember, we're only doing everything good and everything bad about WrestleMania.
Yep.
No news, no match,
no nothing.
It gives me an opportunity to possibly play around with this a little bit more. But if you guys enjoyed it, remember to like, subscribe, share, all that great stuff. Check out our website, we do more of like a, if Joe Biden wrote TMZ for wrestling.
Pretty much.
It's cool stuff. Check it out. And as always, be
majestic.